down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will
know my name is the Lord when I strike vengeance on thee. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, and aka Gaston Lebanon. Gaston Lebanon in your store. Ace Boon Koon from Alti to Senegal. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, April 2nd, 2025. Today's episode is still rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you happen to be down with Whitey, then you know what? Fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Okay. Continuing the tradition, I'd like to acknowledge, give grant salutations to the heartbeat of this interaction, this thing of ours, and that's all you listeners. So before we continue, I'm going to ask you to stop what you're doing, pause, and applaud yourself. And if this is your first time clicking on, you're welcome in the house of B Black, the house that B Black created. Yay! You know, I wonder if I should do that acknowledgement at the end of the podcast. Because, you know, you gotta, you know, I mean, why am I giving props to people who are like, oh, shit, this ain't the Shut Up Podcast episode, Shut Up Podcast I thought I was going to listen to. All right, okay, whatever. Right in. Oh, speaking of which, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. In today's episode, titled 253, Discomfort versus Danger. I don't know, I might give it a sexier title, but for now, the working title is Discomfort versus Danger. I do something that I haven't done in a while, and that's make my feature thought a discussion or talk about my last therapy session. Needless to say, we had an interesting conversation about discomfort and danger that I'm going to try to unpack here. Because it's my goddamn podcast. All right? Okay. All right. And before we get to that, we're going to do a bit of some quotes and some randomness. All right? Okay. Let's go. Yeah. All right, I got to admit that I'm, not that it's any of your problems, but I feel like I'm in a mixed mood. First, I'm recording right after getting off from work. And by getting off of work, I mean logging off one computer and logging into another computer. But still, I feel like the parent with some ungrateful children asking me, "Can I have something to eat?" I've been busting my ass all day, and you kids won't give me a break. Oh, right, that's disrespectful. I'm not saying you guys are ungrateful kids. I'm just saying I'm tired. I'm tired. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? But we're gonna pull through. I'm also feeling a little hyped because I'm starting this new tradition of starting the show with, I listen to some hip hop, recite some lyrics, and then I was just listening to Squabble Up, and it's got me hype. Anyway, so all this to say, it's gonna be a good show. It's gonna be a great show. All right, first quote. It goes. Reed's going to be a challenge. Expect little from people. Expect a lot from yourself. That's the secret of a happy life. What I like about that quote is it sticks to the idea of don't expect shit from other people. You won't be disappointed. I kind of like that. I don't know. I'm at the age where I'm like, you know, y'all can't do shit for me. I'm more self-reliant. I'm trying to be more self-reliant. Maybe I might be too self-reliant. There is such a thing. But that's a different conversation. Next quote, I'm just going to let the TikTok creator Go-Getters Wanted, and he said some shit that I found profound.
I just saw a quote that said, when people fall in love with your flowers and not your roots, they don't know what to do when autumn comes. Damn.
They just don't know. They don't know. They just don't know. All right, let it marinate. Let it marinate. Yeah. Hey, I just found out that in the original, before the white man fucked up planet Earth, April in some societies, April 1st was considered the new year because it was usually the beginning of spring, and so that's how you started the new year. And I'm just saying. So now I forgot how the author, you know, if I find the content, I'll again, another TikTok clip, I'll put it in the show notes and the other links for you to check out. But yeah, man, some woke shit. I gotta be careful. It's some woke shit. And then again, if you listen to this podcast, you are compatible with that stuff. All right, okay. Randomness. Let's do some randomness. Okay, so first, I explained how I just got off of work, bitched about work. Oh, yeah, I think this is what's really making me tired is I went to the gym. I went to the gym today, guys. Sit the fuck down. Yeah, man. No, I was a good session. And then, but I guess I must have, like, put in some good work because I'm fucking exhausted. If it wasn't for the weather, I'd like Uber Eats here. But I ain't trying to tip no fuck that. What am I, Rockefeller? Anyways, I'm just tired. One thing I will say about this gym is, great session and all that. But one thing I will say about this gym, and it's so fucking Ottawa. So Ottawa, I'm like, you know, you're in a white gym when they have like, you know, group activities, and they had like this thing called Code of the Day, and they said, which culture has the best cuisines? Did they say best or greatest? Whatever. And, you know, you put in a mark to vote in, and I'm saying all this because every culture they listed, none of them were black. Like, how the fuck is Caribbean not on your list? And I want to say, this is so an Ottawa thing for people not exposed to Caribbean food. White people not exposed, like Toronto. I'm not saying every white person in Toronto has been exposed to Caribbean food, but they like, yeah, that's Jamaican. You know, yeah, that patty's Jamaican. You know, there's those white people who are like culturally. Look, I'm not trying to start any beef, but the fact that you had Greek but not Caribbean, are you at your goddamn mind? And, what they have, Middle Eastern, Asian, doesn't matter. Oh, my God, focus. Yes, I went to the gym, tired. That's cool. Second thing on the agenda, it's, new sound. Yes. I don't know if you've noticed on the last episode, and I'm going to apply the same. I tweaked the sound in the audio, in my voice, and what you hear. I'm using equalizers. My point is, I went online, found a video about how to, you know, ideal ways to tweak the sound of your podcast, and it shit worked. Well, at least for me. I don't know if you've noticed, let me know, but this is the part where, you know, you like say, hey, something's different about you. Yeah, I changed my hair. But in this case, it's the sound. So yeah, so good for me. Yeah, if you haven't noticed on this podcast, we lead by example, encourage to celebrate your victories. Whether they're small or great, celebrate all your victories and stay in the habit of being grateful. All right. Okay. Next song. Okay, this one I'm going to leave in. It was, I call it The Chosen Part 2, but no, I'm going to skip that one in the interest of time. Like I said, I'm tired. Hold on a second. See, I'm going to get this out the way. Okay. We will talk. I am going to talk about. Oh, yeah. Okay. Shout out to this content creator. Okay. I'm going to play it. It's a clip about Beverly Mascall. Who's Beverly Mascall?
You must learn.
You're about to find out.
What if I told you one woman's passion for black hair transformed the entire industry in Canada? Meet Beverly Mascall. In the 1960s, most salons didn't know how to care for black hair. Beverly saw this and decided to change the game. Beverly opened one of Canada's first black hair salons. Her mission? To show the world that afros, braids, natural curls, and black hairstyles were beautiful.
She didn't just style hair, she gave black women the confidence to embrace who they truly are. Her salon became a place of empowerment.
And Beverly didn't just stop there. She trained future stylists and made sure that they understood black hair care and passed on her skills to them.
Today, Beverly's legacy lives on in every curl and every braid and every fade because she showed us how to love our natural beauty.
What's your favorite natural hairstyle? Let me know in the comments and let's discuss the beauty of our hair. This is Lip Gloss and Legacy. Where history meets style.
Shout out to content creator on TikTok, the Nikki Lawrence. The Nikki Lawrence. Yes, that's it. Again, links are in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. Singer, actor, black history enthusiast fits. And the reason why this struck in the comment section, I joked about, you know, I'm grateful for that, but I joked about how I wonder how long it took for white folks to stop freaking out when they kept passing by and saw these grouping of black people, and she responded with, kindly, she said, yeah, I know, it was in a black neighborhood. I'm like, oh, that's right, you're not in Ottawa where we don't have a lot of neighborhoods that's just black folks in there. But that's not the point. I remember playing this clip and thinking of a coworker's husband at some Christmas party, one of those work gathering functions, whatever, right? And I must have been drunk because why the fuck am I talking about my barbershop to white people? But I mentioned how I go to a barbershop and it was on Somerset. And the husband said, I passed by there. And I noticed all these, what the word, did he say colored? I don't know, but he said, I can't remember the actual words he said, but pretty much it's translated to, there was a lot of black people in there. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then my instinct, and I started to think about white genocide. Because it, you know, when you live in a city that's predominantly white, you'll get people like that that are like not used to seeing black people around. But it's not the fact that they're not used to seeing black people around, but it's more of the fact that it triggers something in their psyche to be like, oh shit, it's the revolution. Hide your kids, hide your wife. Please don't take me. I'm a father. Whatever. Yeah, whatever, man. It was just while I was, oh my God. Okay, focus. All right. So a shout out to Nikki Lawrence for allowing us to have a session where we were able to.
You must learn.
You must learn session. I'm going to call it You Must Learn session. Yeah. A la BDP. Okay, next item. Next item. It's, okay. This one's a bit longer. Okay. You know what? Okay, I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to do it last. This next clip, I call it a conversation we should be having between us men. Now, it's long. It's kind of long for, it's kind of long. It's a long TikTok clip. So I'm encouraging you to check it out yourself. But I'm going to play just a short portion so you can get the gist of it.
And then she said, all men are trash. And, well, it's misandry. I'm not really sure it is. It's literally grouping together all of men and disparaging them. It's not literal, though. I think when women say it, they're mostly just expressing frustration with the men in their life. Then why not just say that? Because we seldom use language that way. Language is contextual. Words don't often carry their literal meaning. But hang on. If I said all women are trash, I'd rightly be called a misogynist. Yeah, because there's no established context for that phrase meaning something else when a guy says it. And there's plenty of established context for misogyny.
I shortened this clip for you. I actually re-listened to this thing, the full thing, and took notes on what I wanted to say. And, yeah. Okay. First is... I should explain for context, if you haven't had a chance to watch the video, it's actually the same character. His name, content creator's name is Jack Loro. And it's the same character, but he's playing two different characters having this conversation. And the guy saying, complaining, is wearing a white t-shirt, and the one responding is wearing a black t-shirt. All right, right on. Okay, like playing chess. Second, when I first heard the clip, anytime I hear some men bitching about, oh, a woman said all men are trash, I'm like, yeah, and? We are. And this video, this clip didn't go in the direction that it went. And it was actually the way first, I'm labeling this as a conversation men should be having. But, you know, for the most part, we won't. Because we're trash. but be your man. but apparently I failed some of the... Look, I'm speaking up. I'm being real. And that's probably the resentment that the world has against men, or at least men in this society, is our inability to keep it real. Our inability to cut through the bullshit. Inability to understand that, I am not mad at a woman who thinks that all men are trash. Speaking from my own experience, I grew up with, they were not all of it, but I grew up with a significant amount of men, and they were also role models, a significant amount of men who like pride themselves on being trash, on being shitty to women. And then when they get called on it, they're like, oh, whoa, whoa, you're crazy. Oh, whoa, whoa, you're being upset. And, you know, it's like they would deflect it. It's like a white person doing racist shit. And then, oh, whoa, 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 who you calling? I'm not racist. Most of my favorite basketball player is black. So that's one thing. Two, we know we're trash. We know we're trash because, and it hit me. The day it hit me is, when I noticed the pattern, as I grew up, I ended up with a lot of homies, male homies with daughters. And without missing a beat, all of them, the moment they realize that, oh, it's a girl, the first thought is the violence they're going to inflict on any man who will. Like, they're already anticipating, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, there's a brief moment of, oh, my God. Jesus Christ, God forbid you meet a guy who was just like me. They're already scared for this little girl because they know what's waiting for them. But whatever, that's a different conversation. Two, what I love about, I mentioned how this guy went in a direction I didn't think that he would go, is he's actually having a healthy conversation. As opposed to, hey, suck it up, quit being a bitch, men are trash, or you know what? You know, I like how he's like rationalizing the thought of a woman expressing the words, uttering the words, all men are trash. Because yes, it is true. She might just be talking about the men, because I used to be the advocate of that. She might be talking about the men in her life. or men. And the last part I'm going to bring up is it reminded me of what's funny about this interaction, the way he worked it out is I had a similar situation, except it's kind of funny. I think this might be a bit. I can't find the joke yet. But I see the setup. It's, I was the guy saying all men are trash, and the person responding to me was my therapist, who's a woman. And she's like, but you're a man. And I'm like, you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Quit fucking around, man. Don't get all politically correct with me and shit like that. But she just got me to realize that, oh, wow. It's as if I realized. I think it's because I was on this all men are trash because I was like, well, since all the men around me were trash, and some of them were men that I revered, that I looked up to, I felt like they're inferiors. So I figured, what chance do I have of being better than them? And if you listen to the clip, he ends at the end, he ends with, yo, being a man who's like, who gives a woman a reason, at least being the example of the man who's not trash. You know, like, you know, the woman who says all men are trash, they meet you and they still think men, all men are trash. Well, you know, I can't do shit for you. You know, you might need to talk to a therapist. But it was just I just appreciated that moment of recognizing that I had a limitation. I had an image of what masculinity was and the realization that I don't have to follow that blueprint. I can make my own rules. And if some asshole wants to say that you're not a real man, what? You listen to women, man? You was a bitch. And fuck him. You know what I mean? And that's what I mean when I'm said, I used to say that I've given up trying to be a real man. And it was just my way of saying is I give up living by other people's rules. By the way, if you've been listening to this podcast, it's very frequent that I come back to this idea. Like there's a, if you played all my podcasts, if you heard from A to Z, from the beginning, you'd be like, yo, you said this already. But in my mind, I'm like, there's always a new audience. So, yeah. Anyway, so powerful. Yeah, this is the conversation I believe that we should have. Okay, last point is, it's an article that I read, and it's not an article, it's a think piece that I appreciate reading, commentary by the Salon, Salon, whatever. And it's titled, From Mar-a-Lago Face to Uncanny AI Art, MAGA Loves Ugly in submission to Trump. One of the swiftest ways to trigger the liberals is look awful. Shout out to the author is Amanda Marcotte. Let me just Google her. Let me see who she is. Yeah. Okay. Smart people, man. Yo, this article, this commentary was one, a reminder that the pen is mightier than the sword. And two is, look, guys, getting some politics. When it comes to the Trump shit, a lot of you folks don't recognize, aren't realizing, folks that are on my side, on the liberal side, you woke, you libtards, you blue, so I don't know, whatever, man, you motherfuckers with empathy, who give a fuck. But a lot of folks fail to realize that Trump won. He didn't just win an election. He won this game in a sense that I was compared when Trump won the election, when Trump won and we got to the inauguration, I gave the analogy that, yo, we are all like in retreat mode at this moment. Yeah. Some people don't recognize we are in retreat mode. Some of us are laying on the ground, getting kicked by the enemy, but whatever, but we're dispersing. Everyone is like retreating and get to higher grounds, but we'll regroup later. But right now, Safekeeper, run for your life. And what I'm saying is, I'm using the analogy of a war to say that we've lost a significant battle with Trump's election. I give this huge context because when I read this commentary, I felt like we went from losing to regrouping. And now we're like making plans for a comeback, and pieces like that are like, okay, this is where we went wrong. No, it's more than that. It's more than this is what we went wrong is. This is what the enemy... I felt like we rigged the enigma. We figured out the enigma. One of the weapons Trump and his supporters have been using is confusion. Putting us in a situation where we're like, what the fuck are they... What the fuck are they doing? Why are they doing it? Why do they like being stupid? Do they not realize they're following a cult? And essentially, what we've been asking is, how come everything we were taught to be decent, these people aren't respecting? And not only aren't they respecting it, it's allowed this asshole to win a second term. So what this commentary goes into is how, I encourage you to read it yourself. It's I don't want to say it's long. I mean, it's long, but in a sense, like it's synthèse. It's an essay. There's a lot of words in there. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to say. But it's worth the read. It's worth to think about it. And I like how the author goes into, like, at first she talks about ugliness, and she's not just talking about physical. I mean, yeah, she starts with physical ugliness, but it's true. When you look at these people, when they're the Mar-a-Lago, the women of Trump, and the facelift that they get, it's like grotesque shit. But the thing is, in a way, is it's like everything they do is to trigger the libs. They don't care. I saw people, was it an executive order? Trump passed an executive order or whatever, passed some rule saying that, banks are allowed to charge you more. There's fuck a limit. Bank can charge you more than the imposed limit on your overdraft protection. And people are showing memes that go, who does this help? That's not the fucking point. That's a fuck a help. What matters to them is seeing, what the fuck? Losing their minds over this shit. That's how they're entertained over it. Now, I'm not trying to say that let's ignore them. And I'm not saying that's the strategy. I'm saying now, the more we understand what makes them tick, the more we figure out how to, like, beat them at their game. Because essentially that's what it's interesting how these guys, the two categories of people I'm impressed that Trump managed to, like, persuade his way into his way. Well, one is young men, and how it's, Trump did the same thing that hip-hop used to do to Christians. Or some Christians. Or not just hip-hop, but like some artists. And the more it triggered these crazy churchgoers, the more us kids were like, yeah! Us kids who don't know shit about life. But the more it felt like, okay, well, it's pissing off my parents, so they must be doing something right. It's amazing how they're using that same element. When Fuck the Police came out, us kids were like, it's dope. I mean, yeah, fuck the institution. It was like, rebelling was the cool thing. And it's amazing how Trump and his people managed to make conforming the cool thing. Oh, whoa, woke ideology. Whoa, wait. Why do you want to know what the government is up to? No. That's true. For them, the government is the bad people. But they managed to convince these people that, yo, I'm on your side. Yo, I'm a billionaire, but I got your back. Yo, I know what it's like to live on, what's that word? Minimum wage. Okay, who am I kidding? I know what it's like to pay a motherfucker minimum wage. And whatever. Okay, the second group who... Did I use the word impressed that Trump managed to, like, persuade to, like, join them? The Christians. You know why Christians are down with Trump? Because he won. Because he wins. That's why they're willing to forsake principle. It's like, yeah, somebody's got a few wives. I mean, come on. Solomon had a lot of wives, didn't he? They're willing to overlook his bullshit because he wins. And he pisses off every people he wants them to piss off. That's right, you ladies. No fucking abortions. Fuck that. You're gonna have that baby. Are you going to help me take care of that? Oh, fuck that. I'm looking forward to sending him or her to the in the army to die in some useless army or rot in a prison or be some problem that we're going to hire more police to get rid of. Anyway, I'm just saying, I think my bottom line in all this is, yo, don't play the Trump is an idiot game. Nah, man. He managed to sucker a whole bunch of... Okay, I guess I'm looking at the Americans and I'm scared that us Canadians don't fall for the same prank or for the same scam. But he managed to convince a whole bunch of liberals to not show up to vote. For me, it's not the people who showed up to vote for... I mean, that's one conversation. That's one conversation. The motherfuckers who voted for him, right? I have a friend, you know, libtard such as myself, and she's friends with a dude who's like a Trump supporter. And it's not because he's it's less about him being a Trump supporter, more there's a certain aspect that I think RFK, one of his people, is down with, and he's like, because of this small aspect of whatever that he's down with, then he's like, yeah, I'm voting for whatever, man. Canadian guy too. But whatever, that's not the point. I'm saying the people who voted for him, that's a different conversation. It's the people Trump managed to convince to not show up to vote. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna be a problem, but not problem enough for you, worth you getting off your ass and voting, you know, and Kamala, she's like genocide. What the fuck? She ain't perfect. I ain't shit, but she ain't perfect. I think that was the greatest illusion on his part. Anyways, I loved reading it. I'm encouraging you to do the same. All right? I want you to pay attention to, before I jump to, because this is it, before I jump to final thought, the feature thought, I want you to pay attention that so far, and we've covered, we did some quotes. I talked about my daily routine. I said fuck Whitey. I talked about some race shit, politics, and shit related to unpacking, unlearning patriarchy. Right? That seems to be the brand. The only thing is missing is I made a hip hop reference, but probably I didn't make a church attractiveness segment or whatever, okay, but I would just say, fuck the church, man, fuck Christian, fuck white Jesus, there we go, all right? I want you to remember this before we, essentially, that's the package. That's what I'm selling. That's what I talk about, all right? Okay, now, remember that, put a pin on it, and we're going to switch to feature thought. But before I do that, we're going to take a quick break.
This is how you know that you are a chosen one. Not everyone is selected for this unique path. A chosen one is a person chosen to undertake special assignments on this planet, primarily to help others. Your journey as a chosen one may have started with a challenging childhood, filled with abandonment issues and a sense of being overlooked by your family. You likely felt different from your siblings, seeing and understanding things that others couldn't. People might have found something unusual about you, something they couldn't quite put into words. And despite your best intentions, you might have felt hurt by those you tried to help. Some may have labeled you as weird or eccentric. You might have developed a preference for being alone because you struggled to relate to others. Interestingly, animals and even bugs seemed drawn to you, sensing a unique energy within you. As you grew into adulthood, you became quieter and more isolated. You learned to love from a distance because you couldn't pretend to be something you're not. Strangers seemed to be drawn to you, and even when you tried to stay out of the spotlight and do everything right, you felt like you were always under some form of attack. These experiences, though challenging, are often indicators that you are a chosen one. Your path is unique, and your purpose is to bring light to a world that may not always understand you. Embrace your role with love and compassion. For you are here to make a difference.
All right, okay. I forgot to say at the beginning when I was acknowledging first-time listeners, the hope I have is I say something that resonates on this episode and causes us to make history. And honestly, that's just my way of saying, I hope you're a member of my tribe and we connect. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And again, being weird, right? And I say all this with the pin that I package up because this is my website. This is me. This is this podcast. On another part of this of this podcast, another element is it's healing. I'm a black man. I'm a 50-year-old Gen X black man who's in therapy, and I don't mind talking about it. I am not embarrassed of it, right? I am selective about who I tell. I mean, granted, hey, safe space for my thoughts. I am selective about who I talk about it or who I allow to have a conversation with. You'd be amazed at people you tell me you're in therapy and they want to talk to you like, so, are you crazy? Are you like, it's like talking to you like you're in, whatever, man. Some people just aren't capable of having a mature conversation about therapy. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right. I'm buying time here. So I haven't done this in a while. I used to have a segment called This Week in Therapy, and I haven't done this in a while. And I'm just going to – I had an interesting conversation, and I felt the need to share it with y'all, right? And it was about the concept of danger and discomfort. Danger and discomfort. Turns out, even though I know the difference – danger et le pas confortable. Comment dire ça en français? Whatever, right? Pas confortable. Le déconfort. Déconfort. No. Oh, whatever. Okay. Turns out, even though I can, the words, my brain can acknowledge that it's two different words, two different ideas, but at an emotional level, my brain treats those two as the same. This conversation sparked with, no, maybe I should start with the reason why I haven't talked about therapy in a while is because I've been, it happens, right? Sometimes I've been hiding some stuff for myself. You know, what am I? I mean, you know, I just show you the booze. You know, I don't show you the whole, you gotta pay to see the rest of my body, but whatever, to be vulnerable. But I just wasn't comfortable, and right now I feel like it. I had a conversation about how I'm like, yo, doing this, I had a moment on my podcast where I was like, what's the fucking point? What's the point? And while realizing that there's a tug of war going on the inside of me between wanting to be out there, wanting to find my tribe, wanting to get putting myself out there and wanting to be like, fuck that shit. Keeping it to myself. Okay, I'll promote it on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's actually a part of me that's self-sabotaging. That's like, hey, shut the fuck up, man. That's like, hey, all right, we'll record, but don't promote it too much. Don't talk too much about your podcast. So there's like a tug of war. I'm my worst enemy. That's what I'm trying to say. And it led into a conversation about danger and discomfort. And instead of, I'm not going to give you the specifics, I am going to tell you the thoughts, the memories that came around is, it made me realize, it reminded me that I'm that kid again, scared of rejection. I say kid, I'm that adolescent, that teenage boy. So after puberty, when I start liking girls, I had a huge fear of rejection. I was that guy who would like, yeah, damn, she's pretty and everything like that. And then everyone's like, go talk to her. I'm like, what are you, crazy? Go talk to her was like useless words. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking do that. No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a mental, record this image of this pretty woman. I'm going to go home, listen to some slow song. I'm going to imagine her and I having a relationship, having fun, blah, 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 while I play my favorite R&B song and being like, and letting this R&B song, like, image. That's all. It was all in, like passing me by. There she goes again, the dopest Ethiopian, the world around, you know, basically the last verse in passing me by is the guy admitting that, yeah, I found my object of desires, but I did not have the courage to go talk to her. And I'm realizing that I had a realization that I'm like that with this podcast again. Granted, back then, I did have toxic ideas about women. You know, it's like I thought that I used to think that I didn't understand. Again, young, dumb, full of cum. I was unenlightened. I'm bracing myself because I'm about to say some fuck shit. But yeah, I was a fuck boy. I was not literally. I mean, I was not one of the good guys. I considered myself one of the good guys, but I was not one of the good guys. I was the silent type. I was the quiet one, whatever. But in my mind, I kept wondering. But I would see a girl that I like, and I kept wishing I knew the formula to say, like type it on this keyboard. What was the code? What was the combination to make this girl go, hey, all right, I'll fuck you. Or, all right, I'll go on a date with you. Like, why do I have to, what do you mean fucking flirt? What do I mean I got to figure out this, that, whatever? Like, game. I hate that word. But yeah, the game. Wish I knew how to do. But at the core of my inability, what I considered an inability at the time to talk to women was the fear of rejection. Now, there's been a time I was successful, went to go talk to a girl, but holy shit, I was, you know, nervous out of my mind. And even if it was successful, let's say she did give me her number, then I'm like, fuck, now I gotta call this chick. Then I would start worrying about, I call her, and there's a dead silence. So, hey, hi, I'm B. Oh, hey, how you doing? And then dead silence, nothing to talk about. I hated that, are you ready? Discomfort. The potential for discomfort drove me nuts. Again, I'm not going to be specific about the conversation I had, but I do like how it set me through memory lane. And I was thinking about how going on those dating profiles, how much thought I would put into these fucking profiles, and I'm just trying to get laid. Yeah, I believe in I believe in the retina and the, sorry, the, whatever, Pisces, this, all kinds of calculations, and you know, and my relatives, the dudes that I would look up to who got the girls, it was always simple for them. But yeah, getting back to what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to say is realizing that I'm going through this. I'm still that kid who's scared of rejection. And what's wild about this shit is I'm also that guy who's done comedy. I'm also that guy who's managed to go on stage, do comedy, survive bombing in front of black folks. Because for me, it's worse bombing in front of black folks. I feel like I let my people down. I felt like my people and my ancestors down. All right. Granted, I managed. The reason I was able to get into comedy is because I it was a gradual process. I started out with, I tried the Toastmaster program. Look, I've always had a gift for speaking in front of an audience. I'm not bragging here, but I'm saying I've always been, even in school, public speaking was always my thing. I enjoyed it. There was something, sure, I was nervous at first, but once I got on that stage, something in me lit up. But yeah, how I started was I did Toastmasters. It was a gradual process. So once I did Toastmasters, I was really good at it, getting used to, hey, yeah, you're really good at it, whatever, you know, even though I was even starting to believe in it. I'm like, I think you got a gift in this shit. Then I went into competition. Essentially, I had gotten comfortable with getting out of my comfort zone. And then when I stopped going to Toastmasters, when I stopped going, doing comedy, I'm back to the guy who wasn't doing comedy. So maybe I need a Toastmaster equivalent for podcasting. Because the next step, what I would like to try to do is TikTok videos. But the idea of doing TikTok videos scares the shit out of all I see is danger. Oh my God. When the Easter's in the house, oh my God, danger. Yeah. How did I not use that reference? But yeah. So let's get back to danger and discomfort. So it's going to be a journey to get my brain to like separate those two. Oh, the word to use is uncouple those two ideas. Danger is something that, yeah, the loan shark, not paying back a loan shark, that's dangerous. Not paying my taxes, well, apparently being in the States and talking shit about Israel, that's dangerous, can be dangerous. I guess it depends, but you know what I mean? Okay, let me be serious. Okay, dangerous. Sex with a crackhead with no condom, that's dangerous. Sex with a crackhead, and not paying her and her pimp just around the corner. That's dangerous. You know what I mean? Dangerous. You know what I'm saying? Driving 200 miles an hour, drunk and high on the freeway. She'll take it easy. Anyway, yeah, that's dangerous. Trying to reach for a cop's gun. That's fucking dangerous. Suicidal even. Discomfort. Calling that girl up and there's a dead silence. Discomfort, because I hate awkward situations. Going to talk to, okay, let's keep it to this podcast. Going on publishing an episode and having someone email saying, yo, your shit is whack. Actually, no, I can, okay. Your shit is whack, whatever. Your shit is whack, dog. I mean, it depends on the certain personalities, but, discomfort. Yeah. Like, shout out to Erykah Badu. She goes, keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. I'm trying to remember the video that I was watching, this TV show that I was watching, and the males were saying that, yo, I'm fragile. And it was their way of saying that, yo, I'm going to let you read my book or something like that, but I want you to know I'm fragile. Yeah, we're not allowed to admit that. But yeah, again, I'm right now I'm just speaking theory. I'm just fascinated at the fact that my brain can't make that distinction. I need my therapist to point that out. It was a productive conversation, by the way. Yeah, I need her to point that out. And I remember she was just like explaining. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna need time to reflect on this shit. But then the hard part is going from reflection to action. Action part. Anyways, yeah. So if you hear all this and your first instinct is to send me some quotes about how, yo, face the fear and do them anyways, you know, and all kinds of things, that doesn't help. That doesn't help. Oh my God, or talk to me about all the benefits of confronting your discomfort, that's not gonna help. It's one of those things I just gotta figure out for myself. That's really what this is about. And I won't be surprised there's other people out there. I mean, you got to be, you know, you got to do some soul searching and shit like that to realize that you're having that problem. I know a lot of talented people. I've come across a lot of talented people, rappers, artists, all kinds of. And because of their inability to get their brain to make the distinction between discomfort and danger, they've like gave up on that talent. They're like, nah, fuck that, man. Let me work this government job. Let me work this office job. Fuck pursue passion. Fuck that. I ain't gonna risk that shit. But yeah, there's in the show notes the article that I linked. I just googled discomfort and danger, and it took me to an article, to a piece, to a think piece or whatever, essay. Mindful Living Counseling. That's the name of the site. It says, it's published January 20th, 2019, Discerning the Difference Between Danger and Discomfort, a Tool to Calm Your Anxiety. So she, is it a she? Whatever. They they go through ways to like, well, first is the introduction and say, hey, by the way, I specialize by therapy session. I specialize in this kind of shit. Some of you might need like, you know, more help, whatever. But, and she's got these exercise, environment, people, inner world, putting it all together. But more the power of, or getting you to recognize when your thought is making you feel uncomfortable. The brain is powerful. Now I get it. Now I see the distinction. Okay, now I see the difference. Danger is outside of my control. Discomfort is within my control. Like, I can get my brain to be like, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, now I took an L. But I can snap out of discomfort. I can walk out, dust myself off from discomfort. Danger? Maybe not. Maybe not so much. Burns without pee, you crackhead bitch. All right, you know what I mean? I guess I could take some pills. But my point is, it's not my thoughts. It's not my thoughts attacking me, calling me, you effing idiot. What the fuck? She had no teeth. All right, sorry. That was a Chris Rock joke. All right. Danger and discomfort. Let it marinate. Let that thing marinate. Oh, my God. Discomfort for me is sometimes telling someone that they're wrong. It's happened to me where a coworker was just saying some outlandish shit. It was just being a fuckhead. And as a result, I would minimize their behavior. Why? Discomfort and danger. Powerful, eh? Powerful. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to wrap this up. Let you marinate on this shit. I'm going to say website, shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. If you have some thoughts of if you struggle with danger and in getting your brain to separate danger, what's dangerous from what's just simply uncomfortable, holler at me. I would like to hear your story, especially if you like made it through. But, you know, remember, don't preach. I don't like preachers. Don't preach to me. Don't beach to me. That clip that I played earlier, it's called The Chosen Ones. And it's the content creator's name is Blaze Ziza. Followed by second account to acquire more knowledge and whatever, man. I got to tell you, man, they're kind of out there. The image is like, it's a woke shit. No, it's not just a woke shit, but it's like 360 degree type shit. That does, how to explain it. But if you click on the link, oh my God. Content creators look kind of out there, but the words that they shared was powerful. And I think it's kind of reaffirming. It's kind of like if reminding myself of being the idea of being a chosen one just helps find more reason to like make the distinction between danger and discomfort. All right. Again, shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and also black folks who say yes, who, when they heard Big Rouge on that famous Outkast album, asked the question, are you an outcast? The first instinct was to say, hell yeah. I represent for them. I'll look down for them. This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be there with Whitey, then fuck you too. Oh man, the weather's terrible out there. All right, thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace. I am your king now!